Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. I am Dr. Adam Christman from Fetch DVM 360. My guest this week is Liz Houston. She is a registered veterinary technician and many more things that actually I want to share with her, because the topic that we're talking about today is actually talking about the veterinary technician program and why we will never be called, or why they will never be called, veterinary nurses. So Liz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam. It's such a pleasure to talk with you in a public forum again.
Right.
I am very happy to be with you today.
I'm glad you're here. And I'm also honored that you're part of our DVM 360 editorial board. So thank you for all you're doing with us.
The honor is mine. Thank you for including me.
My pleasure. Yes, my pleasure. So let's get into it. I mean, tell me about, you have these incredible credentials behind your name. Congratulations to all of them. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about, let's start with the credentials that you have, because okay. I think that kind of segues into what we're going to talk about.
It does, actually. It segues into it pretty nicely because yeah. I'm an RVT, so I'm a registered veterinary technician in California. That was my first credential. I mean, I have a teaching credential, but that's kind of ancient history now. And so RVT, and that's what California calls their credentialed technicians. As I got a little further in my career, as I started thinking about just my personal future, thinking about where I might live in the future, what my life might look like, I thought, oh, maybe I want to be credentialed in other places. And because we don't have a national standard for veterinary technicians, because we don't have a national title, it's really dependent on every state, what they do, how they handle credentialed technicians, yeah. if they even have credentialed technicians. So it all comes down to the Veterinary Practice Act in each individual state. Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and got my CVT, which is in Oregon, and then my LVT, which is in Washington. So I kind of covered the entire West Coast with those three credentials, just in case I decided I wanted to move somewhere on the West Coast.
Right.
The LVT in Washington is helpful too because of one of my other involvements, which is the National Veterinary Professionals Union, which maybe we'll talk about at some other point. Yeah. But that really started in Washington. And so I thought, it will help me to have my credential in that state as well. So those are those three credentials. And then on top of that, I'm a veterinary technician specialist in small animal internal medicine and emergency and critical care. So that's an extra level on top of your credential as a veterinary technician. It requires a certain amount of work, a history, a certain skills mastery, a list of skills mastery, and then you have to do a big application, take a big test, similar to diplomats on the veterinarian side.
It's not easy to our listeners. Liz is making it sound like it just like the letters just came to her.
Well, I don't want to scare anybody. No, it's not easy. There are less than 1,500 veterinary technician specialists in the world across wow. all 16 academies. So it's pretty rare. It is an interesting place to be right now in veterinary medicine in terms of being at that advanced level in on the veterinary technology side, because there is a lot of talk about, kind of murmurings about this idea of the mid-level professional. And then as we're going to talk about, you know, the VNI and the Veterinary Nurse Initiative and what that might mean for our profession. So being a VTS, being at that high level in the veterinary technology side of the industry is a really interesting place to be, and it's a really fun place to advocate for support staff from. So,
yeah, no, I love that. And to everyone that's listening too, just again, so RVT, CVT, LVT. To those that are newer, is it, because there's not a national standard like you were just talking about? So does it vary by state? Is what you're referring to then?
Yes, each individual state in their practice act makes a determination what they're going to call their credentialed technicians, if they even have credentialed technicians. So I think there's still one state that does not have credentialed technician. It used to be two, but Utah just passed a law last year. So they now have credentialing in their state. So before, there was no mention of veterinary support staff in the Veterinary Practice Act. That just nothing, just veterinarians, and that was it. And so now they have a credentialing process there, which is fantastic. They went with CVT for their title, so that's Certified Veterinary Technician. And then there's LVT, which is Licensed Veterinary Technician. And the R in RVT stands for Registered Veterinary Technician. So I am a proponent of the R title. I like it was my first one. That's a part of it, right? A little bit of that kind of bias. But the other thing I really like about it is that Canada has standardized all of their provinces under the title RVT. So every single Canadian province, if you're a credentialed technician in Canada, your letters are RVT. So if we decided on that as our national standard in the US, we could unite all of North America under one title, which I think would go a long way, not only for us as a profession in the US, but, you know, globally, to really bring more knowledge and understanding to our role on the veterinary healthcare team, which is really important.
Very important now, more so than ever.
Yeah.
And you touched on it, and we're going to talk about this. So the VNI, the Veterinary Nursing Initiative, what is it? What does that look like? You know, just elaborate on that.
Yeah, so the Veterinary Nurse Initiative was a movement that NAVTA, our national organization, started several years ago. And the idea was they have several goals. And some of the goals most of the goals are super important. We really need them. A national standard for credentialing. So nationally required level of education and testing in order to be a credentialed veterinary technician. So getting technicians in every practice act in every state. And then the last part, you know, in combination with this national standard, and is a national title. And the big sticking point is they wanted to change our title to use the term nurse. And initially, when I first heard this idea, I thought, oh, that's fantastic. Yes, who wouldn't want to be a nurse? They're among the most respected professions in the United States every year when you look at it. People love nurses. Now, especially, they are the true heroes of our country over the last, you know, 6 months. So, I mean, they've always been heroes, but especially over the last 6 months. So when I first heard it, I thought, yeah, we should, that's what we do. We nurse, that's what we should be called. But then as I looked a little bit more into it, I realized that they hadn't gotten the buy-in of nurses. So they hadn't talked to the American Nurses Association. They hadn't talked to state nursing associations, and nurse, that word is a protected title in 39 US states. So they have legal protection. You cannot call yourself a nurse unless you're an RN. The argument is, oh, but it's like doctor. Like, nobody owns the word doctor. And that's true, right? If you're a doctor, but you're a veterinarian, PhDs are doctors, right? So if I had a PhD in education, I don't, I just have a master's. But if I had a PhD, I would be Dr. Houston, right? But human doctors, MDs, do have a legally protected title, and that is physician. Same with DVMs or VMDs. They have a legally protected title, which is veterinarian. And nurse is the same. They have gone forward and made the laws. They have nursing practice acts, and those laws protect that title. So that's really the crux of why we'll never be nurses as a national title, because there are some states where the State Nursing Association doesn't care, or there's no protection. Right. Okay, so maybe in those states, you might be able to achieve the title RVN, Registered Veterinary Nurse. And, you know, because those states don't care, even though the ANA is vehemently opposed. But in states like California, where I live, and in New York, and in Maryland, these are states where the State Nursing Association has said very clearly, this is not, they're not going to allow this to happen. They have huge membership numbers. They have huge influence in state legislatures, and that's where this work has to be done. And so there, it's never going to happen in those states. And I hate to say never. I don't like to use absolutes like that in my general language, but it really is never going to happen in those states, which then means we'll never have a national title if we insist on sticking with nurse. So that is kind of the overall, roundup of it. The biggest issue for me, sorry, I'm kind of monopolizing the conversation.
No, don't be here, at all.
But the biggest issue for me is not only will we not have a national title, but everywhere where the legislation has been introduced so far, it has failed because of, in some cases, in most cases, because of nurse opposition, nursing association opposition. So what that has done is held us back on the other goals, which are super important. So we still don't have a national standard for education. We still don't have a national standard for a task list, what credentialed technicians are allowed to do. We don't have a national standard for just getting every technician, every state to have technicians in their practice act. So focusing on the title has really held us back from the other goals, which is really frustrating.
Right. It's fascinating. And, you know, I was talking to you beforehand because I think we're hearing verbiage of veterinary nursing. And I think veterinarians were trying so hard to use the word nursing because there was a momentum that was there.
Yes.
And I don't think, that's all news to me, what you're telling me. So it's very interesting and it's helpful because I think the intent is good for the veterinarians to say, well, veterinary nurses, but we will never, ever have that standard of veterinary nursing. So don't use the word, really.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't care what I'm called. I just want to be respected in my job. And I get that. But I also think that the words we use matter and they're important. And sure. I think that when we use the proper titles in practice, it really adds to the respect that credentialed veterinary technicians deserve for the work that they've done, for their education, for the licensure. They have to do CE to maintain their license. There are a lot of practices that don't pay for a technician to get their license or for the CE that they need to maintain it. And so, you know, I think a lot of doctors aren't really aware. A lot of veterinarians aren't aware of what's going on with credentialed technicians and how it works. And I agree with you. It's totally, they want to show respect. They want to show how much they love and appreciate their support staff. But in the execution, it becomes difficult, not only using an illegal title, but what happens is, just like with technician, which has become diluted over the years, right? You look at a staff where everyone is called a tech, right? Everybody who works in the back is called a tech, when in reality, you have a mix of technicians and assistants. And this is, again, it kind of goes back to the respect argument, because you have a really highly skilled, highly qualified veterinary assistant. Maybe they've been doing this for 10, 15 years, and it feels weird to call them an assistant. And yet legally, that's what they are. It doesn't say anything about their performance on the veterinary healthcare team or their value to the team at all. It's just a legal term, and it's the proper legal term. Right. And I think that's the important thing. And that we already see that happening with nurse. So nowhere in no US state are we veterinary nurses. And yet there are educational institutions, there are practices that refer to everyone on the staff as a nurse. That's really like triply not okay. So, yeah. You know, we're seeing the same dilution that we saw with technician, we're seeing with nurse. That all that does is strengthen the nurses' arguments against us having, you know, against us trying to steal their title, honestly, because part of their reason behind it is you don't protect your title in your profession. Yeah. You haven't protected it. You have no standards. We have strong standards. We work to protect our title. You can't steal our title to use for you just because you want that extra respect. We have to earn the respect ourselves for the title we already have.
Yeah, well said. Absolutely. What pieces of advice would you have for the technician that has been out for 30 years that is not technically a technician, but has been doing everything that you basically can do? Yeah. I don't need, and I hear this a quote, I don't need that degree. I don't need the credentials to be told I'm a technician.
I won't get paid anymore.
Yes.
Why should
yes.
I do it? Yes.
Help us with that. Like what words of wisdom can you provide?
Yeah. So a few things. So if you're not a credentialed technician, you can't become a veterinary technician specialist. And that's not important to everyone. But I think for folks who are really interested in advancing their career, who want to maybe do something different with their career. They want to speak, they want to write articles, they want to write books or book chapters. You know, being a VTS is that next step that really opens a lot of those doors. And you can't do that if you're not a credentialed veterinary technician, or if you haven't graduated from an AVMA approved veterinary technology program. So my advice is, number one, don't believe your boss when they tell you you won't be paid more for being credentialed. You absolutely will. And the research bears this out. Credentialed technicians get paid more than assistants across the board. Every state, the reason that people don't think that is the truth is because we don't talk about our salaries openly, which is a big mistake. So talk to your coworkers about your salaries, talk about what you're getting paid. I know, Adam, I know you are a practice owner, and I'm sorry because I'm sure you don't want that drama in your practice, but it's a federally protected right. It really benefits you to know what everybody else is getting paid. And trust when I tell you, credentialed technicians get paid more than assistants. So don't believe your boss when they say you won't get paid more. And if they continue to tell you that, find another job because you will get paid more. The other thing I would say is if you're that devoted to this profession, this is truly your career. You've been doing this for 20 years. Go get the degree. There are options now that we didn't have when I started. You can do programs that are online that are self-paced. I have a friend who went through one of these programs. It's designed as a two-year program, like a brick and mortar program. And I think he got through it in like 8 months. I mean, he was already an alternate route to technician in California because we have this alternate route set up. And so he was already credentialed. He already had two VTS certifications. He needed that degree because he was taking over a vet tech program and he couldn't get AVMA approval of his program if he wasn't a graduate of an AVMA school. So he was able to get through the program very quickly. So you can do it. If you've been out working in this field for 30 years, take one of these online programs, you'll get through it quickly, you'll have no problem passing the VTNE, and then you have that credential. And what that credential gives you is flexibility. Maybe you've been doing this for 15, 20, maybe even 30 years, and you're where you are, you're at a clinic, you're never gonna leave. What happens when that practice owner dies or retires? What happens if there's a major change in your life and you have to move somewhere? What happens if there's something that has to change? When you don't have that credential, you have a lot less flexibility. And I know people who that has happened to, right? They've moved to a different state. Because of some, you know, force outside of their control. And then they couldn't work as a technician in that state because they didn't have that credential. They hadn't graduated from a program. So do it for yourself, number one, to give yourself that flexibility. Number two, do it for your patients, because I really believe that the gold standard of care is credentialed, a really healthy veterinary team, right? Which includes a licensed veterinarian, credentialed technicians and veterinary assistants who are really skilled and good at their jobs. And all of those things are required for a really healthy veterinary team. And that's what provides the best care for the patients. But if you're doing the work of a credentialed technician, and maybe your state doesn't have it outlined in your practice act, the difference between the job tasks, but if you're doing the work of a credentialed technician, you're representing that yourself that way to a client. And that's not fair because you don't have that credential. So, you know, that is the reason behind these practice act. It's consumer protection. It's to make sure the consumer knows what they're getting. And credentialing is all part of that. It's part of protecting yourself. It's part of protecting your veterinarian. Because if you do something wrong, if you make a mistake, whether, you know, not intentional, obviously mistakes aren't intentional, but if you do that and you don't have a credential, it all falls on your vet. And that's not right. And that's not fair. And that's why I really think I'm surprised that more veterinarians aren't pushing their staff to get credentialed as well, because I think veterinarians think, oh, if my tech does something wrong, it all falls on me. But that's not true. If you're working with credentialed technicians, they have a license that they have to protect. They have to work to maintain that license. I can have a complaint filed against me that has nothing to do with you whatsoever, except for the fact that you hired me. And so I think that part is really important. And I think if we can move to, I'm not opposed to moving to a nursing model. I would love to move to a more, something that's more similar to a nursing model where they have their own state boards, they do their own licensing, they take care of all their complaints. Nurses have their, if they don't work for a large organization, they have their own liability insurance. We should have that same thing for veterinary technicians. I do believe we're moving that way as we get more and more credentialed technicians in the fold. If we can keep them, that's the key, right? We're graduating more and more, but they're leaving faster than we can fill those spots. And so that's a big, you know, a big roadblock for practice owners and managers who want credentialed staff. They're hard to find. They're hard to, I would argue they're not hard to keep. It's not hard to keep a credentialed technician, but a lot of a lot of practices don't want to do the things they need to do to keep those technicians, which include pay and effect and utilization. So it's definitely a multifactorial problem. We're at a point in our profession where we're finally wrestling with these issues, which is exciting and frustrating and, you know, maddening all at the same time.
Yes. Yep. Great discussion, Liz. This is fantastic. And finally, where can we all go to find more information about this through NAVTA? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there is a website called the Veterinary Nurse Initiative.org. So you can go there. If you go to the NAVTA site, which is NAVTA.net, NAVTA.net, you'll find links to the VNI there. If you want information about the debate, about, you know, the issues behind it, and why some of us are opposed, I mean, beyond what I've told you today, we have a group on Facebook called Unite North American Veterinary Technicians. And we have a lot of documentation there, and a lot of information about the discussion. So if you are a credentialed technician or a veterinary technology student, you're eligible to join that group. And we like to have lively debate. We want to talk about the issues there. And that's why we started that group, because we found that we weren't having really good, open, honest discussions about the issues behind the VNI and why those of us who are opposed are opposed. So,
right. That's fantastic. And I know I'm speaking on behalf of all the veterinarians too, because I know we're approaching National Veterinary Technician Appreciation Week. And we kind of, I know the country, which I love, that we turn it into veterinary team appreciation, where we have, you know, the CSRs, the hospital managers, because teamwork really does make the dream work throughout the day. And I just want to thank you and all the veterinary technicians that are out there too, for all their hard work and service and the crying, the bending down, the picking up, the surgery, the vomit, the puke. It keeps going.
Yes, yes, yes. All of the things, the pee in your shoe that soaks your sock. Yes. And yes, yes.
Right. You meant to eat a Whopper and you go in your pocket and it's a poop nugget.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. That's always a fun game. Is it poop or chocolate? Poop or chocolate?
I love it. Liz, is there anywhere where we can find more information about you?
Yes. I have a Facebook page called Vet Tech Expert, and that's X without the leading E. So just an X, P-E-R-T. That's my Facebook page and you can find me there. And you know, I'm very active on social media. I admin a few other Facebook groups. So you can find me pretty much anywhere there and on Instagram, but my Instagram is just like, you know, pictures of my dogs and cats and like food I eat. So if you like, you know, like everybody's Instagram, so you can find me there as well.
Liz Houston, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Adam. It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And thank you everybody for tuning in. Remember, always stay safe out there and stay possum. Take care. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.